This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It is a hard truth and a sad fact of housing in this economy that while some cities can't build fast enough to fit their growing populations, collectively there are millions of vacant and abandoned houses in other cities around the country. A lot of them are in rural areas as well, those vacancies, and Rust Belt cities that people have been leaving for years. Cities like Baltimore, which, despite millions of dollars in investment, has barely made a dent in the vacancy problem. And this pandemic obviously could make things worse. Marketplace's Amy Scott has the first in a series of stories about what's become an intractable and a deadly problem.
There was a time when you could often find Thomas Lemon sitting in his beloved car on North Payson Street in West Baltimore, where century-old brick row houses line the block. The car was a cream-colored 1989 Cadillac, almost a block long itself, with a red top and matching interior.
He used to love to sit in his Cadillac and listen to his radio in his car.
That's his old neighbor, Joseph Snowden. He says one spring afternoon 4 years ago, Lemon was parked alongside a vacant row house listening to oldies.
It was real windy, and the wall just collapsed right down on the car.
Two stories of brick buckled and rained down on the Cadillac, smashing the windshield and flattening the roof. Snowden heard the boom from half a block away and ran to help.
By the time I got over there, it was a whole bunch of kids, and they had cleaned all the bricks off the top of it. I took my back, and I tried to lift up on the top of the car to push it up to get the man out of there, but we couldn't get him up.
Lemon died in a hospital that evening. He was 69. On display at his funeral was a red and white wreath in the shape of his cherished Cadillac. The tragedy was shocking, but not surprising. Neighbors had complained about the abandoned house, which the city had condemned 9 years before.
And it's emblematic of Baltimore on so many levels.
Carol Ott is a longtime fair housing advocate in the city.
Because the man who was killed was Black. The house was located in a majority Black neighborhood that has suffered from disinvestment and redlining and predatory real estate practices.
Practices that over the decades have hollowed out large swaths of Baltimore, leaving blocks of 10 and 20 row houses where all but a few are vacant. Ott says the building that killed Thomas Lemon had been bought in a city tax sale by investors who'd let it sit empty for nearly a decade. Alan Malik is a senior fellow at the Center for Community Progress. He spent his career researching economic development and urban revitalization. He says vacancies, and there are more than 6 million across the country, feed a vicious cycle of decline.
Vacant properties don't cause poverty. They don't cause crime and all the other ills of urban neighborhoods. But they make all of that worse.
They become dumping grounds for trash, havens for drug dealers. Dead bodies have even been found inside.
They are incredibly destructive to people's sort of sense of hope, quality of life, aspirations, home value, all of these kinds of things.
After Thomas Lemon's death, the city rushed to tear down hundreds of other derelict buildings near collapse. But the overall number, more than 16,000 vacant buildings, has barely budged for a decade. Michael Braverman is Baltimore's housing commissioner. Since he took charge in 2017, the city's torn down more than 2,000 vacants. Grants and tax incentives have helped homeowners and developers rehab thousands more. But Braverman says,
at the same time that we are renovating vacant buildings in one area, we are seeing additional vacant buildings in another.
Because overall, more people are leaving Baltimore than coming. A city built for nearly a million people at its peak in 1950 is now below 600,000. And tearing down an individual row house is expensive and complicated because people may be living next door. Braverman says it would cost a few billion dollars to rid Baltimore of its vacancy problem. And now there's the pandemic. Demolitions have been on hold since April. And
cities like Baltimore are having extraordinary revenue challenges as a result of the COVID crisis. And so, you know, the amount of money available to do this kind of work is going to diminish.
Endangering even the slow progress that has been made in places like West Baltimore's Harlem Park, a historic black neighborhood where one of every three houses is vacant.
Hey, you take a bottle, you make sure you do your census now.
Matthew King started the Harlem Park Community Development Corporation a few years ago to help revitalize the neighborhood. On a recent afternoon, he was there handing out boxes of food and supplies to residents.
So we're actually giving out free KN95 masks. We're giving out fresh produce, and they get a squirt of hand sanitizer, too.
Black communities like King's have been disproportionately hurt by the economic and human costs of the pandemic. But he says with the national spotlight on racism and police brutality, more people are starting to see.
You know, black lives do matter. Black communities do matter. And there has to be some significant investment into, you know, urban cities and black communities to change things.
Blocks away, where Thomas Lemon was killed 4 years ago, his former neighbor, Joseph Snowden, says he has seen some progress. A few years ago, he reported a hazardous building to the city.
The wall was leaning out. And I was scared that the wall was going to collapse and fall down on a child going down to the playground. You know, they came that evening and tore it down.
Now his house sits next to an empty lot, with soda cans and water bottles littering the knee-high grass.
It's better to be torn down than to be vacant, because, you know, you have people that goes in and they burglarize it. Sometimes they go in there and set fires.
Snowden remembers when every house on his block was occupied. Now he's just one of three homeowners left. But after more than 60 years, he insists he's not going anywhere.
Because I was born and raised right here, you know. And I feel like this, wherever you go, there's trouble going to be there too.
So what's he doing with a for sale sign in his window? He says it's just for fun. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.